Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we look at cancer prevention surgery with Jennifer Deneau, Tom McCoy, and Dr. Jim Harris. Plus, we'll take a look at the VA and what's going on with Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom with Alicia Adams. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers, brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Resort at Red Hawk and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
I'm a runner. Nothing too serious. I just enjoy it. But I'm also a third-grade teacher, which pretty much means I'm running all day long. One day, though, my body takes a wrong turn, and I run right into a heart attack. Suddenly, I'm not running. I'm being rushed to St. Mary's. They don't just treat me. They save me. And lucky, lucky me, I live to run another beautiful day.
Item 29 was held, so that brings us to item 30, which is related to 31 and 32 and can be heard together if the commission wishes.
Items 30, 31, and 32 have been called forward. Is there any discussion on those items from the commission?
Yeah. Hey, Roy. It'd really mean a lot to me if we could put to motion item 30. That's my favorite, personal favorite.
There's an easier way inside local politics. Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
Do you suffer from chronic pain? Do you not understand what is causing your pain? Have you been told that it's all in your head because the tests were normal? Don't believe it. I'm Dr. Fred Grimes, and I specialize in chronic pain. We have revolutionary treatments that cure the cause of most pain, not just the symptoms. Call 841-7246 for an appointment. I want to help you reduce your pain and increase your activity.
I've had back problems my entire life, but since seeing Dr. Grimes, I'm now pain-free.
Western Bariatric Institute. Sign up for a free seminar online today at WesternBariatricInstitute.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, welcome to the program, Dr. Jim Harris. He is the medical director for St. Mary's Center for Cancer in Reno, and Tom McCoy, director of government relations for the American Cancer Society. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When a patient comes to you for the first time, and you have to communicate with them about the options, about what really can happen, what's your biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge is that there's a lot of information that's given to a patient who's just been diagnosed with breast cancer. It's a lot for them to take in at one time. I try to spend a considerable amount of time, particularly on the first visit with them, going over the overall picture of breast cancer, but then I try to break it down into smaller steps so that it's easier for them to understand and then easier for them to make decisions with the information that I give them.
Jennifer obviously went through a very radical process. Is this something, as Larry suggests, that is going to be more done in the future of where this kind of prevention because of genes?
I think we're just on the cusp of the molecular and genetic profiling that we're going to be seeing for patients in the future. We are certainly identifying those patients through their family history that will be at increased risk for different types of cancer. And using that risk profile, we can then target certain patients that would be at higher risk and therefore offer them genetic counseling and then possibly testing.
One of the things that you and I have talked about, Tom, is, rural health care.
Yes.
And the people are having additional procedures done because of the time off work, the journey that they have to take to go to hospital. Would you address that a little?
Yes, the issue for Nevada and rural Nevada, and let's face it, we have a lot of folks that fall into that category, rural Nevada. Decisions are being made to have, for example, a second mastectomy. They maybe had cancer in one breast and decide they can't go through the process again of traveling back and forth to a Reno or to a Salt Lake City. We're talking miles and hours for many cancer patients in Nevada, and this is one of the reasons that some people make those decisions.
Does that shock you?
No, I think that's actually a very good use of the tests. BRCA1 and BRCA2 mutation is to help patients that are struggling, trying to decide whether or not they want to do breast-conserving therapy or go the next step, actually doing bilateral mastectomies, one for cancer and one prophylactically. And if you can get a test that can help you with that decision, I think that's very appropriate. I think it's very important, however, that they get the genetic counseling before they make the decision to do the test, because there's a lot of factors and the results of the test. And I think the patient needs to not make that decision quickly, but like Jennifer did, take some time to really evaluate whether that's something they want to know or not. And it has implications for their family, for their children.
I think one of the things that we're seeing here is a redefinition in the future of what prevention is. That for the most part, when prevention is discussed in the healthcare reform debate, it's about early screening, it's about changing of behaviors, it's about trying to minimize high-end, high-tech procedures. But as we get into the world of genetic testing, we're going to be really in need of high-tech procedures so that you can prevent the onset of very expensive and very destructive diseases. As the Cancer Society and frankly, as medicine, begun to rethink how to define prevention when they involve those kinds of real changes?
Well, I think the American College of Surgeons and the Commission on Cancer has worked closely with the American Cancer Society in providing a framework or guidelines for those patients that are going to be at higher risk and how to identify them. And the American Cancer Society has been very helpful in being able to advertise that out to a large portion of the population.
I think, though, that we still have to take a look at the fact that this year alone, 192,000 cases of breast cancer, 40,000 fatalities as a result of over the years. Here in Nevada, 1,300 cases, 350 deaths. So the standard, what I would call more standard procedures, Larry, for prevention are still what we're going to work with for the time being, and that's that screening, mammograms. I have a little pin here. 1 in 5 is what we talk about. 1 in 5 Americans who are eligible for screening actually get it. In Nevada, and rural Nevada, it's worse.
Dr. Francis Collins, now heading up NIH, he was in charge of mapping the human genome. How soon down the road do you think that we are going to see the possibility of being able to cure cancer?
I'd just say that's still a fairly long ways away.
10, 20 years?
I think you're probably looking at 20 or beyond years. It's a very complex process. Understanding the human genome and unraveling its mysteries is not particularly easy. We're just now beginning to get some tests, such as the BRCA1, BRCA2 testing. There's also other tests like Oncotype, which look at molecular profiling of breast cancers once you have it. Then we're just really getting on the cusp of that explosion of information. I think it's going to be very exciting in the years to come.
Do you agree on the time frame?
I think so. We have a target of 2015 that we set many years ago in terms of really reducing cancer, but we have come up with a factor of 60% of all cancers, not just breast cancer, could be prevented with early detection and treatment.
So while we're continuing with the scientific advances, we also need to make full use of the resources we have.
And just briefly, you agree with that?
Absolutely, particularly in Nevada, where we do have a lot of rural areas that we don't have the screening available. I think we need to really do a lot more outreach programs to those areas.
Okay, and that's where we got to leave it. Thank you, gentlemen,
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
If you've been putting off that colonoscopy, which you know you really need if you're 50 or over, please pay attention.
Virtually all colon cancers start with small growths called polyps,
which can be easily removed during your exam.
If everyone had all their colon polyps removed, including you, no one should die of colon cancer.
We literally help save thousands of lives every year.
Unpleasant? Slightly, but not as unpleasant as cancer.
When I finally came in for my second routine screening, they removed the cancerous polyp. Got it just in time.
Here at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, water resources come from fresh, clean groundwater, approved by state permits. The water is pumped from wells to million-gallon storage tanks and then distributed to TRI companies. Another amenity? is our investment in a state-of-the-art wastewater treatment plant. This disposal system converts waste to clean water for industrial applications. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the largest industrial park in the world, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Western Bariatric Institute. Sign up for a free seminar online today at westernbariatricinstitute.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue looking at critical health care issues in the state of Nevada. And we welcome to the program Jennifer Deneau. I was going to call you a breast cancer survivor, but that's not how you view yourself.
Right. I did not have the opportunity, and hope I never do, to get breast cancer. The reason being, in my father's family, he has two siblings that have breast cancer, one of them being his brother, which is uncommon. And so through the encouragement of my doctor, my OBGYN, and my aunt and uncle's doctors, they encouraged a genetic test that can detect a genetic mutation. It's called BRCA, and there's one in two. And so they were tested, and they're positive. All six of my father and his siblings are positive for this mutation, which means that I'm also positive for it, has an increased chance of getting breast cancer primarily.
There's a chance of getting breast cancer.
Right. Yeah.
You took pretty radical steps.
I did. With that knowledge, breast cancer is about 87% chance that I would get breast cancer with this mutation. And I'm the mom. I have three kids. And it's a chance I wasn't willing to take. And so one of the options, there's different options for people like me. And one of them is to have, they call it a prophylactic mastectomy. And so I chose to do that step so that I don't have to face it somewhere down the line and have chemotherapy and radiation and all those things as well.
I've heard of this before. It must be just an unbelievable situation to learn that news first of all and then look at the options and take the route that you took.
Yes, it was. It took me about a year between the time that I even decided to get the test done. Originally, I thought, well, I don't need the test. I'm just going to let life happen. And then I thought, well, if I have a chance to know, how fair would that be to women who and men who have breast cancer who didn't get a chance to know? I feel like I'd be wasting an opportunity. So I found out. And if somebody is positive for the mutation, then their children have a 50% chance. So when my dad found out he was positive, I could go either way. And I was positive. And now my children will also have an opportunity if they want to. They have 50% chance. So just coming to the conclusion to get the test done, yes. But then at least it gave me, once I found out I was positive, the opportunity to research and learn more, talk to my family, talk to lots of different doctors. And I had amazing doctors who encouraged me to talk to more doctors to find out if it was the right step. And I
it's
was
remarkable
peaceful.
How far we've come. Mm-hmm. In your parents' generation, they couldn't know in advance. I mean, it was guesswork because you see patterns in families. But the reality is that the first time most women face the issue, and it's mostly women, is when they get the diagnosis. And that's still the case. I think you're an exception that's going to become the rule over time. Do you work with other women who have to deal with breast cancer issues?
I have offered, and actually just recently this week, I told my plastic surgeon and my surgeon if they have anybody who wants, because it's different when you actually have cancer. There's lots of support groups, but there's not a lot for women who choose it before they have cancer. But yes, this week my doctor referred somebody to me, and I was able to talk to her a little bit about it. And I'm open. I'll talk to anybody because I wish I would have had somebody to talk to who chose the route that I chose. It was hard.
So how difficult was that to not have somebody to talk to?
It was very difficult. A lot of nights crying. My considerations were between thinking about my kids and my life, and I owe it to them to be there at their weddings and their graduation. And when they have kids, kids deserve their parents for a long time. But then if I did get it, there's the normal things that a woman goes through. Well, you know, what is it going to look like? Will my husband still love me? What will it feel like? And when you make the decision to, I called it mutilate my body. You can't go back. It's not like when you, you know, just get a breast augmentation. If you don't like them, you can have them removed. But to go the steps and actually have a mastectomy, you lose other parts of your breasts that you think you need. And it was really difficult for me, and it was a decision I knew I could never go back and change. And I didn't want it to affect, you know, who I felt, if I would feel like a woman, if my husband would love me still, all those things. And eventually, through the encouragement of my aunt, she said, you'll know when you feel peace. And she's one of the ones with cancer, and she was right. And through all the talks with all my doctors, and they encouraged me in different ways, then one day it was true. I felt peace, and I've never looked back since.
So much of the reaction to the preventive surgery is very similar to the reaction to having a diagnosis of cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I would assume that over time, you and other women who have gone through this, and some men, will develop support groups similar to those that,
yeah.
But it's just a different package of concerns that you have to deal with, mm-hmm. But they're very similar.
Very. There was a point where my mind got wrapped up as if I had it, and I had to remind myself, you don't have it. You're preventing it from happening, because chances are I will have it, or I would have had it. So
let me ask you this. I mean, did insurance companies step up to the plate and say, yes, this is fine?
Yes. Yes. To get the genetic test done is very expensive for the first person in your family to do it. So my uncle, one with breast cancer, he did it, and it's about $3,000 just for the genetic test. But then once they can narrow down where the mutation is in your DNA, then it's much easier for the lab, because they know where they're looking. And from there on, it's about $300. Now, my insurance did pay for it. I'm sure not all insurance did. So they paid for the testing, and then I had to go through a pre-approval process, but they paid for the surgery and for the reconstruction, which was all done in the same surgery. I didn't have to go back, which some breast cancer survivors, they have to go back multiple times. So,
well, we thank you so much for coming on the program and telling us your story,
you.
And I'm sure that's going to give a lot of encouragement to a lot of people out there who will watch this.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
We'll be right back on About a Newsmakers after this time out.
Debbie, who do you use for workers' comp? Bob and I are paying a fortune, and the service is terrible.
Ever since Jerry and I've been building homes, we've used ProGroup. Come to think of it, they haven't raised our rates in 10 years. They've done background checks for us and safety training. We've saved a lot of money.
Well, Bob just added more trucks and drivers, and I think it's time for a change. I'm going to call ProGroup today. Okay, spot me.
ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
And money. Take control at NVEnergy.com.
Hey, you got a new home on you? Check your pockets. If you're carrying a John's Club card, you might. With Home Sweet Home at the Nugget, your card could be your ticket to a beautiful 3-bedroom, 2-bath Tanamera home worth $250,000 and a share of $1.5 million in cash and prizes. Do the Nugget. You just might take home a new home.
Bring your friends, hit the top, and do the Nugget tonight.
Ode to the Subway Premium Big Hot Pastrami Sandwich. Your name speaks volumes. Big, check. Hot pastrami, yes indeedy. And premium, no doubters here. With your piled high, piping hot and tasty pastrami, pickle, spicy mustard, and melted cheese, you've made us the kind of believers that'd follow you blindly like nearsighted bison on a flavor stampede. Small price to pay for all that taste. Try one today. Subway. Eat fresh.
Western Bariatric Institute. Sign up for a free seminar online today at WesternBariatricInstitute.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, Alicia Adams is the program manager for Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom at the Reno VA Medical Center. She's a registered nurse with over 20 years of nursing experience and holds a master's degree in nursing and a national certification in emergency nursing, and is also a lieutenant colonel in the USAFRNC. It's a pleasure to have you back on the program. When we last had you on the program, one of the things that we were talking about was people who are veterans should actually come to the VA even prior to going to Iraq or Afghanistan, because there are so many things that you can help them with. Would you go into a little bit more detail about that?
Well, what we like to do is we're out there doing outreach, first off, and when we first started this program, it's been about 2 years now that the program's been up and running, and what I found was that we really needed a lot of outreach, because the first thing I heard was, well, I don't think we have a lot of, you know, OEF, OAF veterans out there. And I said, I bet we do. We just need to do the outreach. And what I found is, over this two-year time period, as I got out there in the community and met veterans that actually had come back, that a lot of them had no clue what they were entitled to, that they were even veterans. And so we've actually gone from a base of about 600 registered at our VA of our returning veterans to over 1,200 now. Wow. Registered at the VA in about a two-year period. And that really is getting out there in the community and letting these folks know that, yes, you are veterans. Yes, you are entitled to health care from the VA. Come in and get registered. The program, when it started, it was basically 5 years of free medical care for anything that could be service-connected. And that was the other thing. Once the veterans came in, we also tried to get them going with their service connection claims as well during that time. And initially, it was 2 years, and then the government moved it to 5 years, which was very nice, because what was happening was our veterans were coming back, and they would wander into us about 3 years after, you know, coming back from deployment, and the problem was that 2 years had run out. So it was extended in January of 2008 to 5 years of that coverage, along with the dental now, which they can get a one-time dental exam done as well if they haven't had it on their way out the door from the military within a six-month time frame from the time they're discharged.
And this program is available also through the Southern Nevada VA?
Yes, this program actually is VA-wide. The OEF-OAF program was started, like I said, about 2 years ago. It's in every VA around the country. There's program managers like myself in every VA. And with those program managers are case managers as well, where veterans that need a little more help are case managed. Originally, it was put in for the seriously ill, seriously injured folks coming back from the war zone. So when they came back and they were discharged from a military medical treatment facility and turned into the, you know, civilian outside into the VA, so that they had a seamless transition that went on. So they weren't dropped through the cracks or lost. And that's why the program was originally started. And it has grown, I would say, and metamorphosized, whereas we found, yes, we have, you know, seriously injured coming back, but what we found was we had a lot more that were walking in our doors that may not have had outward injuries, but they had mental health issues. And that was one of the big components of it. So we have grown to take care of any veteran that comes back that needs case management.
You know, one of the most interesting things about your interaction with these programs is the fact that in the fall of 2006, you went to Iraq and served in Iraq. And I would assume that, you know, there are some major linkage that you got from what you saw there, that a person that's never gone into the theater of war, you know, might not recognize or appreciate. What was that like, and is there a rollover benefit?
There's definitely a rollover benefit, I will tell you that. What I find is when veterans come into the VA, they've got to be able to trust us, and it's the first thing is a trust factor. And when they come in and I ask them, you know, where were you deployed to? I was there in 06, and I like to start that rapport with finding out, you know, a common ground with them so I can build that trust as well. And so that also gives you an edge to be able to help them. And I will tell you, mine was a short notice deployment to Iraq. I was Air Force Reserves, and I went to Balad to the ER over there, and I knew firsthand what the men and women went through. And my biggest fear, I think, when I was there was wondering who was going to take care of them when they came home, who was going to understand what they went through. And so for me, when the job came available, I was like, you know, that's mine. I really want to be able to do that because I do understand. And many times, you know, they don't want to come in and bare their soul to folks that, you know, may not totally understand. And so being able to gain that rapport with them and understand where they've been is very helpful. And like I said, many times their mental health issues, you know, we need to address those. And we want to get them in there before they end up in crisis as well. Before, you know, they're having issues with the family, you know, and issues with their significant others. We want to get those issues addressed right up front before, you know, like I said, crisis.
Well, I would assume that that gives you a really good link to a person, and a lot of confidence is built there so that people will open up and we'll talk about what their needs are, because in the end it's going to take them explaining what happened to them or what their problems are before they're going to trust you know, physicians and others back home.
And you're correct. And one of the other things that we've done is when we get new interns and social workers, psychologists and stuff, I've had the privilege to actually go and give them a little talk as well on, you know, what our veterans go through, how, you know, to approach them, how to talk to them so they can, you know, gain that trust with them. It's really easy to sit down and talk to somebody that's been there because they understand.
Yeah.
But and as you well know, being a former Marine and knowing what that's like coming home and just being able to talk to someone. The other thing is that when we all come back, we're all different. We're never the same. We can't possibly be. And the first thing, you know, out of our mouths is, we're fine, we're fine. Well, we're not always so fine.
I'm going to stop you right here because we're going to take a break and do the second part of this interview tomorrow, and I want to jump into it right at this point. So let's take a break. We'll be back with Lieutenant Colonel Adams on the program tomorrow, and we'll take a time out and be right back.
If you have back pain, arthritis, fibromyalgia, tendonitis, any kind of joint and muscle pain or stiffness at all, you finally have a safe, effective relief. Dr. Frank's homeopathic joint and muscle pain relief.
I had a lot of fear that I would be crippled at a very young age. It was a miracle that I found something safe and that had such dramatic pain relief.
Dr. Frank's is all natural. Just spray here and stop all your pain everywhere. For the first time ever, these 10 homeopathic ingredients have been combined in a revolutionary oral spray that stops inflammation, pain, and stiffness.
I pretty much quit tennis just because of the pounding. Since using this spray, my pain and tenderness and swelling and soreness and stiffness has gone.
If you have any kind of joint and muscle pain or stiffness, Dr. Frank's Joint and Muscle Pain Relief is the safe, all-natural relief you've been searching for.
I have no pain in my knees, no sciatica, and I'm pain-free.
I'm Dr. Ken Frank. I'm a medical doctor. There is a safe way to stop your pain, and I guarantee that your daily aches and pains, whether mild or severe, will stop or significantly decrease with this formula.
Start living your life pain-free. Try safe, effective Dr. Frank's risk-free. Call now and get a 200-spray trial bottle for only $19.95.
It was as though someone has given me an electric shock that went up the arm, and I could not do that. Now, I can't get that pain no matter how far I turn my arm. And now I'm playing tennis again.
Call now and spray away your pain in days. Call now for your risk-free trial bottle of Dr. Frank's Joint and Muscle Pain Relief. Ask how to double the supply for free. And also ask how to get for free Dr. Frank's 100-page book about natural and safe pain relief without drugs.
Call now. 1-800-572-9269. 1-800-572-9269. That's 1-800-572-9269.
Dr. Frank's Pain Relief really works.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, we'll continue our interview with Alicia Adams from the VA. Plus, we'll take a look at lung disease. It's all coming up on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.